from the combined crew of blindandroidusers.com and accessibleandroid.com, it's time for your favorite Android podcast. Kick back now and enjoy another fine episode from these fanboys and gals as they navigate Android from a blindness perspective. And now, here's your crew. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 173 of the Blind Android Users Podcast. We're recording today on the last Saturday of March, March 30th, 2024. I'm Warren Carr, alongside with my co-host, I've got...
John Dyer.
Yarin Kiwan.
Sally Kunduz.
There are the faithfuls, guys, and thank you so much for joining us. If you're celebrating Easter, this is a holy week in the Christian world. And so we're coming to you this Easter weekend. Coming up in this episode, we've got the basic Android basics, and we return to the device care found in the One UI. And then this week, we're spotlighting the brand new TalkBack 14.2. Following that, we bring you the app of the week. And we close with a tip of the week for this episode using the Samsung panels. Welcome to episode 173. John, you are a little bit under the weather. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know how, but I got sick again. So, yeah, it's been a rough couple of... The last two nights have been pretty bad. I've had a fever, but I... don't feel as bad as I sound right now. I think I'm starting to get better. What about you, Warren? How was your week?
I'm doing well. We have a great week, but it's been kind of rainy week. Today, however, we're breaking out of all of that. And believe it or not, I think we're going to be up to like 62 or 63 degrees. Last few days have been a little bit on the chilly side, but we're warming up and I'm excited about that. Erin girl, what's going on?
Well, you know, when you say the 63 and 64 degrees and 70s, I always feel like I'm boiling because actually it takes like one second for my mind to start to work to change from Fahrenheit to degrees Celsius. Yeah, because we use degrees Celsius here. Everything is good here. Actually, we are starting to get springy weather, I can say. And it is starting to become a lovely weather, I think, after the cold winter. But I don't know if we will get another rain or another cold weather after this time. But yeah, it is starting to become nice.
Wonderful. You know, the lilacs in front of my house, you know, starting to bloom really good. And I think maybe in a week or two at the most, the front of my house would be so nice. You know, it always smells so nice this time of year. So looking forward to that. Sally boy, what's going on with you?
Well, I'm back again after 1 week of absence. As you know, I'm getting better every day, just like you, Warren, bro.
I know why you were not here last week, but we're not going to talk about that. But it's okay.
Yeah.
And maybe you went out, you know, some 400 kilometers out. Who knows?
Who knows?
Something sweet somewhere.
Well, this week's been crazy. I mean, Monday it was really warm. The next day it was raining, and on Wednesday, we were expecting snow, and Thursday it's came back like 20 degrees back, and it's like crazy. Like, no words to describe the weather for this week. I mean, really crazy one.
April can be really crazy around here as well, and it's a time of year that farmers are always afraid of because you can get very cold April, ruining all the cherries and the apples and stuff like that. So this time of year, we're always kind of apprehensive.
So I hope
because you never know what would happen.
I hope it won't happen because I really want cherries so bad.
Oh, yeah. No, me too. I love cherries. But I remember a couple of years we had very bad cherries because of the weather, you know, snowing in April and all of that. So I hope this year we don't.
This is Android Basics, in which we bring you up to date on the things that you should know to use your Android phone.
We now move on to our Android Basics segment, and this week we're talking about the device care found in your Samsung One UI. As always, John is up there. John brings us that preamble talking about what we observe in the device care. John?
Hello, and welcome back to our Samsung One UI series, the never-ending series. Today we'll be covering device care, more specifically.
Device care. Storage, memory, app protection.
Going in here.
Device care. Navigate up. Button.
And the first thing I'm going to show you in here, near the top right of the page, is care report.
Care report. Button.
Going in here.
Care report. Navigate up. Button.
I'm just going to go through this quickly to show you the type of information you can gather from this page.
Optimization. Heading. Last auto memory cleaning. 6 HRS ago. Newly added. March 19th, 2024, 3:16 a.m. Last auto restart. Off. Restart when needed off. Apps put in deep sleep. Heading. Issues in last 30 days. 31 issues. 31 apps put in deep sleep. Unused apps. 31 apps put in deep sleep. Plus 28. App issues. None. Excessive alerts. None.
And that's all that's on this page. Obviously, if you want more information about any of these, you can just tap on that and go into it. But I'm going to back out.
Device care. Care report. Button.
And to the right of care report, we have more options.
More options. Button. Pop-up window. Settings.
And then we have settings. And I think there's basically one setting in here.
Device care settings. Navigate up. Button. Show device care on app screen. Off switch.
And that's the setting. You can choose to have this in your app drawer so you can open it as an app and not have to go through settings to get to this page. Backing out.
Device care. More options. Button.
Below this we have.
Good.
And I'm assuming that's my device status is good.
Optimize now to free up more memory.
They give you the option to clear your memory.
Optimize now. Button.
I won't do that.
Battery. Fully charged. 100% available.
And now we have the battery section. And all of the settings in here are identical to the battery settings that we've already covered in this series. So I'm not going to go in here and show you everything. However, I am going to show you one thing that has changed since I recorded that walkthrough a few months back. I don't know if it's because I'm using a different phone or because I'm on One UI 6.1 now instead of 6.0, but I'm going to show you what's changed. It's just one thing. I'm going to go in here.
Battery. Navigate up. Button. Battery protection. Adaptive.
Now, this is a settings section we can go into now, whereas before it was just a switch that basically let you set your battery to never charge higher than 85%. But now, instead of just having a switch, we can go in here and we have more granular control of what happens.
Battery protection. Navigate up. Button.
And at the top is the switch, and I have it turned on.
Battery protection. On. Switch.
And below this we have.
Keeping your battery at a full 100% charge for a long time can reduce its lifespan. Choose an option below to protect your battery and make it last longer.
And here are your options.
Not selected. Radio button. Basic. When your battery is charged to 100%, charging will stop until the battery level drops down to 95%, and then charging will start again. Selected. Radio button. Adaptive. Use maximum while you're asleep, and switch to basic before you wake up. Sleep time is estimated based on your phone usage patterns. Not selected. Radio button. Maximum. Your battery will stop charging when it reaches 80%.
So, you have maximum, which never lets the phone charge higher than 80%. I don't know why they've changed it from 85, but now it's 80. And then there's basic, which just stops your phone charging at 100%. Instead of keeping it at 100%, it lets it fall to 95%. And if it gets down to 95% while it's still plugged in or sitting on the wireless charger, it will start charging again. And then there's kind of an in between the two, which is what I have set, which will charge it to 80% when you first put it on the charger. And then it'll stop charging at 80%. And then depending on what it thinks your schedule is and what time it thinks you're going to take the phone off the charger, it will start charging the phone in time to have it at 100% when you wake up, or close to 100%. It doesn't always get there because it's guessing what time you're going to wake up. But usually when I take it off the charger, it's between 95 and 100, but it hasn't been sitting at 100 all night. It's only just gotten there. So it's nice that they allow this type of granular control over battery protection. So you can have it protected, but still get a little more charge out of it if you want. Backing out.
Battery. Battery protection. Adaptive.
Backing out again.
Device care. Battery. Fully charged. 100% available.
Below battery we have
storage. 848.1 GB available. 175.9 GB used in 1 TB.
Let's see what's in here.
Settings. Manage storage. Navigate up. Button. Page 1 of 1. Internal storage 17% used. 175.9 GB of 1.0 TB used.
I'm assuming the reason this says page 1 of 1, and I'm not sure, but maybe if you have an SD card or a USB drive connected, there will be a page 2 that you could look at. And then if you continue to swipe, you'll get more specifics.
Audio files. 46.25 GB. Compressed files. 25.75 GB. Videos. 25.54 GB. Installation files. 1.43 GB. Show more. Button.
And then you can expand this and it will show you all the other types of files that you have and how much space they're taking up. Below this.
Page 1 of 6. Get 3.55 GB of space by deleting old audio files from the Alive folder.
So that's a suggestion of how to clear up some space, and below that are two options.
Not now. Button. Review old files. Button.
And if you want to see the other suggestions, if you swipe right.
Page 1 of 6. Button.
You'll have your pages here. You can select the page and double tap on it. Or you can just swipe on the suggestion with two fingers to the left to change the page. And below these page indicators, we have
trash, 402 megabytes, files sitting in the trash in various apps.
A way to go and empty trash.
Unused apps, 4.75 gigabyte, apps you haven't used in the past 30 days.
Pretty self-explanatory, apps they think you might want to delete because they haven't been used.
Duplicate files. 4.69 gigabyte. Files you have multiple copies of.
And this is pretty cool. I went in here and looked earlier and noticed I had some audiobooks that were still in my downloads folder that I had copied to my audiobooks folder and had not deleted from the downloads folder. So if you're in a similar situation, it will recognize that you have multiple files in different locations and recommend that you delete some of them. Below this.
Large files. 103 gigabytes. Files bigger than 25 megabytes.
And of course, the quickest way to free up space is to delete the largest files. So this will show you what your largest files are on the device. And that's all that's in this storage area. Backing out.
Device care. Storage.
Next we have
memory. 4.6 gigabyte available. 6.2 gigabyte used in 12 gigabytes.
Going in here.
Memory. Navigate up. Button. 4.6 gigabyte available. 6.2 gigabyte / 12 gigabyte used. Reserved 1.2 gigabyte. Free up memory by stopping background apps. Clean now plus 2.7 gigabyte. Button.
So if you want to clear your memory, you can do that here.
Check. Amazon shopping, 523 megabytes. Checkbox.
This is a list of what apps are taking up how much memory at the moment. Below this list.
View more. Expand. Button.
Is the view more to expand the list. But continuing on.
Memory resident apps.
Memory resident apps. I think this is always running apps. Let's see.
Memory resident apps. Navigate up. Button. Memory resident apps run in the background all the time. Sometimes this is necessary for an app to work correctly. However, too many memory resident apps can slow down your phone. If you aren't using any of the apps below, putting them in deep sleep may improve your phone's performance.
So putting something in deep sleep, you can still use the app, but you just won't get any notifications and it won't run in the background. It only works when it's open, but it'll show you view swipe. It'll show you what these apps are and how much memory they are always taking up.
Check. 268 megabytes. Checkbox.
And there's a little bit of an accessibility issue here. As you noticed, it did not tell me what the name of the app was. It just told me how much memory it was taking up. So if you want to know that information, you'll have to use the describe image feature to have TalkBack read the text under the cursor. I'm just going to do the gesture I have that assigned to.
Detected text reading mode. 268 megabytes.
So that's how you can know what the name of the app is. And then you can select which ones you want to keep from being in this list. But I'm going to choose to allow all these to continue because I want them to run in the background. Backing out.
Memory. Memory resident apps.
Next we have
excluded apps. Button.
And this excluded apps, when you go in here and add apps to this list, you are adding apps that you want to be excluded from the clearing of the memory. So any app you want to always kind of stay open, not be open, but keep its data in the memory so that when you go back to it, it's not starting the app over again. You can add those apps to this list here. And then the last item on this memory page is
RAM plus 8 gigabytes. Button. RAM plus. Navigate up. Button.
And there's a switch to turn it on.
RAM plus. On. Switch.
And this is the description of it.
RAM plus uses your phone's storage space to provide virtual memory. Choose more virtual memory to allow more apps to stay open in the background. Choose less virtual memory to keep more storage space free.
So you can use part of your storage as backup memory. Obviously, it's not going to be as fast as the memory, but it will allow you to keep more apps open in the background if you've noticed that a lot of apps are closing or resetting when you go back to them. And the options here are
not selected, 2 gigabytes, not selected, 4 gigabytes, not selected, 6 gigabytes, selected, 8 gigabytes, radio button.
And 8 gigabytes is the most it lets you select, so I've selected that because I had 8 gigabytes to spare. Backing out of this,
memory, RAM plus 8 gigabytes, button.
And backing out again.
Device care. Memory.
And below memory, we have
app protection. Off.
This is sort of like an antivirus, anti-malware thing. I'll go in here.
App protection. Navigate up. Button. Turn on app protection to stay safe from malware and other suspicious activity. By continuing, you agree to the McAfee end user license agreements and McAfee privacy policy.
So I don't want to use this, so I have it turned off.
Turn on. Button.
But you would hit that button if you wanted to turn it on.
Tip. Protect your other devices with a special offer from McAfee for Samsung mobile users.
And then below this is basically an advertisement for McAfee for your PC. Backing out.
Device care. App protection. Off.
Below this we have
performance. Heading.
And under performance.
Performance profile. Light.
I have this set to light. I'm going to go in here.
Performance profile. Navigate up. Button. Not selected. Radio button. Standard. Provides the recommended balance between processing speed, battery life, and cooling efficiency.
So standard is the default, and it lets your processor run how Samsung wants your processor to run.
Selected. Radio button. Light. Prioritizes battery life and cooling efficiency over processing speed.
And I have it set to light so it never pushes my processor to the max. That way I get a little better battery life. I haven't noticed any difference in responsiveness with TalkBack, so I just keep it set to light. Backing out of here.
Device care. Performance profile. Light.
Next we have
auto optimization. Auto optimization. Navigate up. Button.
This is what's in here.
Device care automatically performs optimizations to keep your phone running smoothly. This includes closing background apps and cleaning memory. Last auto memory cleaning. 6 HRS ago. Issues can occur if your phone is left on for a long time without restarting. Set up auto restart to keep your phone running in the best condition. Last auto restart. Off.
And then you can turn on auto restart if you want to. I think it'll do it in the middle of the night, and I don't like that because TalkBack will just start talking while I'm trying to sleep. So I have this turned off, but if you want it to automatically restart every once in a while, you can have it do that.
Device care. Auto optimization.
Below this we have
additional care. Heading. Software update. Last checked on March 2nd, 2024.
Now you can go in here to check for updates. You can also get to it from the main settings page, but there's also a link in here. Next item.
Diagnostics. Last checked March 18th, 2024.
Now this will open the diagnostics app. I'll just show you it real quick.
Samsung members. In progress. Progress bar. Diagnostics. Navigate up. Button. Phone diagnostics. Check if your phone's functions are working properly. App battery usage diagnostics. Check for apps that quickly use up battery. App safety diagnostics. Check for apps that can reduce your phone's performance and security.
So those are the three options you have. I won't go into any of them, but I think they're pretty self-explanatory, and feel free to explore, especially if you think a certain sensor or feature on your phone isn't working correctly, like NFC. You can go in here and test specific functions of your device, and it'll tell you whether it's working as it should be or not. Backing out.
Device care. Diagnostics. Last checked March 18th, 2024. Maintenance mode. Protect your privacy while your phone is being repaired.
Going in here.
Maintenance mode. Navigate up. Button.
This is what it says.
Maintenance mode protects your privacy while someone else is using your phone, such as when you're sending it for repairs. How maintenance mode keeps you safe. Bullet. Only pre-installed apps are available. Personal data, including pictures, messages, and accounts, can't be accessed, and downloaded apps are hidden. Bullet. You'll need to unlock your phone to turn off maintenance mode. What happens when you turn off maintenance mode? Bullet. Everything will go back to the way it was when maintenance mode was first turned on. Bullet. Nothing will be saved that happens while maintenance mode is on, such as downloaded data, app installations, or settings changes. Backing up your data is recommended just in case data is lost while your phone is being repaired.
So if you're ever sending your phone away or taking it to a repair shop to have the screen replaced, battery replaced, anything like that, or you're sending it into Samsung, you're going to want to put it in maintenance mode so they can get into the phone if they need to, but they won't be able to get to your personal stuff or change anything you have set. However, as you just heard, they're recommending you back up your files, and here are the two options you have.
Temporary cloud backup. Backup unlimited data to Samsung Cloud for up to 30 days, or restore data you've backed up.
So this will let you back up your whole entire phone. Even if you have a 1 terabyte phone that's completely full, Samsung will let you back that up to the cloud for free if you want to. Of course, it only lasts 30 days, so you're going to need to have your phone back within 30 days to restore from that backup. But you also have the setting.
External storage backup. Backup data to a USB storage device. Restore later on this device or another device using Smart Switch.
So, if you have one, you may as well use both backup methods. That way you can restore from either one.
Turn on button.
And this is where you would turn on maintenance mode. And this brings us to the end of the device care settings. So I will now send it back to the crew.
Thank you so much, John, for that. Guys, do you have any comments about device care? I know you guys both like Samsung caring. It's kind of like a balanced thing here. Actually, we have more Samsung users on the podcast crew team. Really interesting. All three of you are, you know, heavy Samsung lovers and all of that. What do you guys have to say about this segment?
By the way, it's not a matter of loving Samsung. It's a matter of having Samsung devices everywhere, because I was trying badly to find a OnePlus 12R. And whenever I ask a shop owner about it, like,
say, we don't have it.
What are you talking about?
We don't have it. What is that?
Maybe,
right?
maybe they will respond, OnePlus 12R? Okay, equals 13R or something like that. But no, it's something. So for this reason, actually, I think this is a real testimony of how much Samsung is able to expand to territories, to countries around the world. So whenever you go, you ask about the Samsung device and you will find it usually. And you will find an official seller. So yeah, I think Samsung had done a good job in this. And going back to this section of One UI, I personally don't have a lot of things to say, because I usually don't get there so much. Like, it's good to see the storage and RAM stuff, but I'm not like a regular visitor unless I want to check something or to make sure that something is not really eating a lot of RAM or something.
You know, looking at my Samsung device, I was looking at the report and all of that. This is a nice feature. You know, one can say whatever they want to say about Samsung, but, you know, there are lots of things that Samsung has done right. And, you know, talking about what Samsung has done right, I'm kind of excited getting the 6.1. Sally, I think you got it on yours as well, on, you know, your S23. I also got it on my
S23+. Yeah, it's all necessary.
And, I think mine came in like maybe 2.9 gigs or whatever that thing was. And the good news here for me, though, is that if you listen to one of my Samsung panels tip that's coming toward the end of this episode, I was using my Samsung device and it was on 6.0. And it was after that recording that I got the 6.1, and I'm happy to report that now one can natively cast to a Chromecast device. Samsung brought that finally in the 6.1. I know it was there like in the beta, and then they took it away when they brought the final 6.0, and now it's there. And so in my app of the week, I was able to take advantage of that and using that with the Reflector 4. So kudos to Samsung for doing the right thing, because that's kind of been very pissy to me. Excuse my Espanol, but I really didn't like that whole idea. You got to use ADB, blah, 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 and all of that. So finally, things are working right. Just go into that casting, you know, smart view, and then tap on the more options there, and tap on settings, tap on labs, and then in there you can enable Google Chromecast. I like that feature.
That's awesome. I didn't even realize they had added that. I'm glad they did, because I'm sure listeners know I had done a tip of the week on how to enable this, and it was kind of a weird process you had to go through. And then even after a few months, it stopped working, like you couldn't access it anymore. So I'm glad Samsung's added this natively.
I am very happy about it, because, you know, now I can just, you know, pass through my Samsung to Reflector 4 or whatever app that I'm using in recording, and I don't have to jump through hoops to do that. So thanks to Samsung for knowing that this is how it ought to be. Come on, man. I don't know who was drinking that didn't implement this in the first place. And all that they wanted was to make sure you're doing it to, you know, Samsung devices and stuff like that. But I'm glad we finally have it.
So now you're going to start doing all your demos on your better phone.
My better phone, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I like the Samsung devices, though. Let's not misconstrue that. It's one of those things that once you get used to something, it's kind of hard to go back to the other ones. So the Pixel, remember, John, years ago, I was a very staunch Samsung guy. I'm talking about 2013, 2014, even up to 2015. You couldn't talk me out of Samsung. It just was my phone, you know. And I still love them, but I think maybe the Pixel, though, is the access to the early stuff that's kind of kept me in the Pixel land and all of that stuff. Or else I'll be there partying with you. I'm still partying with you.
Yeah.
This is the Spotlight segment. Stay tuned for premium interviews, device unboxing, and more.
Up next, we're spotlighting on a new TalkBack version 14.2. Who would like to get us started with this new, brand new TalkBack 14.2. I do regret, however, although it's not a regretting thing, but Samsung at least has the 14.1 in the 6.1, One UI 6.1. So they're getting closer. I wish that, though, that we could just be on the same page. We've been singing this song forever, infinitum, and nothing has changed. But Samsung always one version behind Pixel. Did everyone get the 14.2? John, I know you got it. I got it. Sally, you got it. And Karen, did you guys get it?
Not yet here. I downloaded the version for 30 minutes, maybe, from APK Mirror. Just I did the 30 minutes testing. I wasn't able only to test the stuff related to image description, because they were not allowing me to download the image description data and the icon description. So yeah, but I returned back now to the 14.1 until the update is available. But I can say that I knew from others that in Europe, in parts of Europe, the update was available. So yeah, I think many people are starting to get it. I assume that next week everyone would be getting the update.
For me, I also didn't receive the update yet, but I think it's on its way very soon, because some countries already received it, as Karine said. So let's wait and see.
Yeah, so I got it, and a lot of people have gotten it as well. So like Karen says, you know, I think next week everyone should be just about getting it. Yeah, so let's talk about some of the things that are new features. There's a little bit of a better image description, if you call it better. I don't know if it's any better necessarily. You know, I don't know. Comparing it to 14.1, I think that the only difference, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what is different.
I'll explain what's different.
That's yeah, thank you, John.
Different, not better, because the actual descriptions are just as good or bad, whatever you want to call it, as they were before. I think the text description is really good, but I think the image description is really bad, and I think the icon description is okay. But you know, whatever you think about those, you're going to continue to think the same thing about those, because that's not what's changed is the actual description. What's changed is the implementation of it. So before, you could choose whether or not you wanted each of those, you know, being icon, image, or text description, you could choose whether you wanted them on or off. And now there's a third option called on when item is unlabeled, or something along those lines. And that's actually what in 14.1 was the behavior when it was turned on. So when it was turned on in 14.1, it would describe unlabeled items only. And I think they've made it so that now when you have it turned on in 14.2, it will always describe the item, even if it's not unlabeled, so that if you're going through like a camera roll or something, you know, if you're going through pictures and it's telling you like the date the picture was taken, that's technically labeled, you know, because it's a date. So it wouldn't, previously, it wouldn't automatically describe the image to you because it had a label. So now you can have it turned on all the time so that after it's done reading the label of the image, it will actually read the image description to you. But you might not necessarily want that turned always on for other situations like icons. For example, you don't want it to say, describe the icon even if it has a label, because, for example, if you have icon description always on, even when the item is labeled, it would say something along the lines of, navigate up button, icon detected, left arrow, you know, and that's a bit much. So for icons, you might want to have it set to only when unlabeled. So basically, they're giving you more granular control of how you want each of those three types of descriptions to behave and when you want them to automatically or not automatically describe them to you. And of course, you can trigger all three with a gesture or by going into the talkback menu and selecting describe image at any time.
Exactly. And so that's the changes. I kind of like the implementation. And if it works right, this is a good implementation, because if you turn it, say, describe all or say all, then it would even, like, say you're on your home screen and say you come across an icon, for example, that says maybe tune in radio. And then it'll say tune in radio and then text tune in radio. So that means you've turned all three on. And so I like the way they implement it. So you have to skip those if you don't want to hear, you know, redundancy and stuff like that. So the only thing that we wish it would happen better is the image description, that we have a fuller description of the image than what we have. So maybe one of these, maybe next week, John or I could do this as a talkback highlight and then really show you what we're talking about. But so that's what it is that we have in the new talkback 14.2.
There's also now you can go into this talkback settings and then go into the sounds portion of the settings, sounds and vibrations, and you can adjust. There's two sliders in there now for adjusting your reading speed and accessibility volume. So you know, obviously you can already adjust these two things on the fly using either reading controls or just by putting your finger on the screen and hitting the volume keys. But, you know, if you want to go in the settings and do it, now you can. So that's, I guess, a new feature. And then I don't use a Braille display, but they have added new Braille display commands, but I'm not sure exactly what they are. Do you know what they are, Warren, or anybody else?
Yeah, so the Braille display thing, really, they've done a good job at doing that because they have more languages and things like that. Because sometimes some people want a different language or maybe a different Braille input. It was kind of very limited earlier on, but those guys have done a really good job by implementing or bringing in more tables. So, I mean, we have maybe like six different languages you could use. We even have Indian Braille. I'd never seen what Indian Braille looks like. I wanted to, enable that to see what it is like, but I didn't. But at least we have some of those things in there. So if you prefer, you know, using computer Braille, or you prefer using the regular 6-dot Braille, or, you know, 8-dot Braille, or, you know, UK Braille and all of that, like I said, there's even the Indian Braille in there. So we have those things in there now that people can take advantage of. And so if you have a Braille display, you can take advantage of that. And if you only use the virtual Braille, the one that I don't use often, John, you tend to use that a lot. I think we have better behavior now with the virtual Braille display, don't we? I mean, virtual Braille input, rather.
I don't think anything's changed in this version as far as Braille input. Last, in 14.1, we got much better spell check, but nothing's changed in this version.
But that's what I was thinking of, the spell checking. That came in 14.1, right?
Yeah, but since we've mentioned spell check, and since they've also mentioned this as a new feature, I think we have to touch on it. They say that TalkBack can now proofread, so they'll get grammar corrections as well as spelling corrections when you do what used to be called spell check. But just to be clear, all that's happening here is they have renamed the reading control from spell check to proofread to make it more accurately describe what's happening, because Gboard for a few, or I'm not sure if it's Gboard, but whatever service Google is using to do the spell checking, it has actually been doing proofreading as well for a few months now. So even though it was called spell check, it was also checking grammar. So they've basically renamed that to more accurately describe what it's doing.
I think that's a good idea, because the proofreading is not just only your spellings. You have a horrible speller like me, but then also it checks the grammar as well. So that's a good thing. It's taking it from Gboard. So I'm glad to see this tight integration going on. Things that we have in Gboard kind of spilling over here to TalkBack. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea, but it's better to say that we have renamed the spell check to let it reflect the feature more, or something that, not to claim that it is now able to check grammar and that, whereas it was able to do it even in 14.1, and I was able to test it. Actually, I tested with the same text and I was able to get the same spelling suggestions and the same thing. So in fact, it was the same behavior. So I think it's better people in saying that, okay, we have renamed this, and to state that as a new feature, but just to clarify that it is just the rename of the already available feature.
So I look at it this way, Karen. It's like Karen, doing her makeup in the morning. It's still the same Karen, but, kind of a prettier Karen in the morning with the makeup on. So I hear what you're saying, but yeah, we got it. So I think the most important
thing... Okay, should I come and say, this is the new Karine? Or call myself another name or something?
Yeah, exactly. I think what it boils down to is this version did not have very many things new in it, actually. So I don't know if they wanted to manufacture features or what, but like Kareen said, you know, they could have done a better job describing what is actually different, especially when it comes to the answering phone calls thing, because honestly, that's what confuses me the most. I don't know why that's in there.
Two-finger double tap to answer the phone call has been there for a while. I'm kind of beginning to wonder, though, could it be because, you know, some of the VoIP apps were not behaving well with it. It could be that some of those things now take advantage of that. I don't know for sure. For example, I know it used to be, for some reason, you could answer Google Meet, you know, good old Duo in, back then, with double tap with two fingers, and then it stopped working. I don't know if it's been fixed or not. I haven't tried it, to be honest. But I think that maybe part of the problem or part of the reason why it's called new may have to do with some of those things that we could not answer by double tapping. I know that Telegram is one of those culprits, and I don't know that if, as we speak, if one could answer a Telegram call by double tapping. Has anyone tried it? Karen or Sally, have you tried? Well, you don't
Why
have
Why don't it. You call me right now, and I'll let we can demonstrate it live.
Why don't I call me right now?
It's not working when you double tap. I don't think it's never working. Works, honestly.
Let me try it. Hang on, guys. Let's
debunk this theory right
now. Yeah.
I can call you here.
Debunked in live.
So who will bet that it will not work?
I bet it will not work.
Okay.
I'm positive it will not work, but we, just for giggles, you know. let's see. Let me.
It's always fun to do a live demonstration.
Yeah, let me.
Who's going to call?
Open Telegram. Can we hear my volume? All right. So I just got Telegram open up here, and John, I got a conversation between you and I. So I'm gonna try to call you, John. Can you get your phone? Let's see if you can double tap to answer.
Hold on. Don't call me yet.
Okay.
I forgot I had Do Not Disturb turned on.
John.
That call is in the more options, right? I'm not seeing it.
Okay, Do Not Disturb is off then.
I don't see a regular voice.
Video call is the one.
Huh.
You just have not.
That's all. We don't have a voice call. I thought we had a voice call.
They're the same thing now, I think.
All right. All right. So here I am. I'm going to try to call John on Telegram and see if we could. He could answer it using a double tap.
Video call.
No, Warren, you don't need to go to more options.
Ongoing Telegram call. Accessibility volume set to 50%.
John, it's not ringing. That says you are not online.
Okay, it's ringing.
Yeah.
I'm going to double tap.
Yeah.
With two fingers. And I'm shocked. Nothing is happening.
Yeah, but it's a video call, so you should be fair and try the voice call.
Okay.
Okay.
We can just take that all again.
Switch off. John Dyer.
But I'm not seeing...
It's not in more options.
There it is. So here's call. This is a voice call.
Back button.
Okay, it's ringing. Warren Carr incoming call. I'm going to double tap with two fingers. And it's not answering it. So.
I don't think it would, because it's the same thing. But we gave it the benefit of a doubt, right? Trying both the video and regular voice calls. So I'm just going to end the call.
All right.
So we can tell that the double tap to answer is not working with some of these VoIPs. I think it's primarily maybe regular phone calls. And like I said, it used to work with Google Meet, but then after a while, it wasn't working. I haven't tried that to be sure. So I can't say that with certainty that it does or does not We'll have to find out.
Yeah, but here's a question. I don't know if anyone had tested that before. If you are having your Bluetooth earphones and you receive a Telegram call, are you able to answer the call using your Bluetooth earbuds?
I know that I had done so in the past, but frankly, I don't know, because these things keep changing. Sometimes also it's the app that changes some of these things and messes up our accessibility or whatever, the ease of answering calls and things like that. I haven't tried that in a while, to be honest with you. I can't say with certainty that I can hit the answer call on my headset to answer a Telegram call or not. I know I'm able to do that with Meet. I was able to answer that yesterday with one of my friends using my headset, but I can't say that about Telegram. And WhatsApp, I don't use WhatsApp.
WhatsApp is working unless you are on Android 14, and I think it's only with Samsung devices. There's a problem. When you try to use the gesture to answer calls, the accessibility gesture, it will not work, neither with Jishuo nor with TalkBack. So I don't know what's the problem. On Android 13, there is no issue, only on Android 14.
That is so silly, because I feel like they should just, TalkBack should just do whatever like headsets do, you know, to answer. And it shouldn't really be an issue, but yeah.
Yeah, this is what I thought before. And actually, with Jishuo, it's also the same. It is using the same method that is used in the headset stuff. But I don't know what's happening. I think that someone had told me that it's possible to it is still possible to answer calls with the headset. I didn't try it myself, but they said that it works. So I think that something was broken with respect to accessibility. I don't know why that happened, actually.
And like I said, you know, sometimes some of these things also come from the app itself. I mean, look at the kind of behavior that we have on WhatsApp that I hear my friends talking about. For example, you know, if you're using a Braille display and try to type, as soon as you type a few characters, or maybe first two characters, it jumps and puts you on the send button. You have to go touch the edit field again to be focused. So it's part of those things that I don't know why these things happen. It doesn't behave like that on Telegram, but it behaves that way on WhatsApp. So there's something on some specific apps that's also messing us up.
But with this one, there is no problem in Jishuo. Okay, we don't use Braille displays with Jishuo, but the same but the problem regarding TalkBack that is focusing or talking about the send button happens also if you are not using a Braille display, and it is happening with TalkBack all of the time. However, with Jishuo, we don't have this problem.
Are you trying to tell me that if one is just using a keyboard, virtual keyboard, let's say Gboard, that happens too?
You will hear send so. Button. After you type the first character, you will hear send button. It will not impact like the focusing. You will still be able to continue typing, but you will hear this send button.
Oh, I see. So that's a little different than with, yeah, because the way I understand it on with the Braille display, frankly, you wouldn't be able to type anything once it focuses on that send, because you physically see the send button highlighted and you can't type anything at that point unless you move your finger back to the edit field. So I think there's something odd going on between WhatsApp and TalkBack here. WhatsApp is one of those things that, you know, one day they have something right and the next time they, you know, they've messed things up, because I remember testing it maybe like last year. You know, I don't use WhatsApp, but last year, Alan and I, the knucklehead, actually, there were like three different ways of answering, just like on a phone. You could double tap, you could slide up, or you could tap the answer, and they all three of those things work. I don't know if that is still the case with WhatsApp, because like I said, one day it's nice and the next day it's broken. So it's like one day is chicken and next day is feathers.
And they have added the ability to end the call with the power button for a while. It was something nice, but then it was removed. So now you can't end the call with the power button.
That's what I'm talking about. WhatsApp is inconsistent. They need to be consistent, but what do we know, right?
Yeah, but it's still doing things better than Telegram, I think.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't use it necessarily, so I cannot compare, WhatsApp and Telegram. I think that probably some of the problems that people have, and some of my friends that have it, is that when you try to, record a voice message, and we know that happens in Telegram too, but with Telegram, at least if you just swipe from the edit field, and when you get to that record button, and you double tap and hold, it's not going to get TalkBack talking into it. But I understand WhatsApp still does let TalkBack come through.
Again, this is a TalkBack problem, because TalkBack always talks when you are recording something. It happens with so many applications, including recorders. We don't have this issue in the show. So
yeah, but we're talking about TalkBack here with
but it's a TalkBack problem. You can't blame WhatsApp for that, I think. Like, also the problem with granularity is, like, in TalkBack, when you try to read a message in Telegram character by character, you will not be able to do it. But in Jisho, everything is perfectly well.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So it's just one of those things. I don't know. We'll always have this type of things going on unless someone finally figures out what to do with these things, or else it'll continue to be a problem. You are now on to our App of the Week segment. This is where we demonstrate an app showing you whether or not it has accessibility issues or not. Should you have an app that you'd like us to feature on one of our episodes, feel free to send such an app to contact us at blindandroidusers.com. And now, here's this episode's App of the Week. We move on now to our next segment, and that's the App of the Week. And this week, we're talking about weather today. Those of you out there that still want those weather apps, I put my hand out the window to find out what the weather is. But seriously, here's a demonstration of weather app. It's a great booking app too, by the way. Hi, Warren Carr here for Blind Android Users Podcast, and for episode 173, App of the Week, this is demonstrating a weather app called Weather Today. Yes, indeed, I know we got a lot of weather apps out there, and there must be a reason as to why these developers are still developing weather apps. I know some people don't care about weather apps and things like that, including me. However, I know a bunch of you out there like these weather apps, so I'm demonstrating this one called Weather Today. I'll be utilizing my Galaxy S23 Plus and Android 14 and TalkBack 14.1 from the One UI 6.1. I'm sitting on my home screen now, and I still realize that there's still a bug in the Samsung One UI where if you just install an app and you haven't restarted your phone, it simply says pending. That is, the icon of the app that was just installed on your home screen simply says pending. I'll therefore navigate to that pending app, which indeed is the Weather Today icon, and get started. This is going to be a brief demonstration on how this app works, as well as letting you know that this app is free. However, some of the features are locked behind a paywall. We got two models of subscription, annual subscription. One is for like $3 plus, and the other one I think is like $6 plus. Let's move on though to that pending icon and get it started.
Pending.
Here's that pending, and I'll tap here to activate.
Weather Today. Get started. Button. Out of pager.
We heard Weather Today get started, and in the middle of the phone,
Page, Weather Today, welcome to Weather Today. Weather Today provides accurate weather data with a great set of features in a modern and user-friendly way.
If that is a little too fast for you, I'm going to try to decrease the accessibility speech rate.
Speech rate 82%. Speech rate 75%. Speech rate 68%.
I think that's good. So below that, we get the Get Started.
Get Started button.
Let's tap here to continue, and that's there dead in the middle of the screen.
Page, Weather Today, determine weather location, set your location based on your current position or pick one manually.
Now, in the middle, we got something called
Determine Weather Location button.
In other words, if you tap here, you're going to be enabling your location. Of course, it's going to ask you as to whether or not you want to allow location access to your device. And then below that, we have
Search Place button.
We have the search place. In other words, you could just tap here and just manually search for a place. For this demonstration, though, let's go ahead and do the search place option. I'll tap here and tap at random some US city.
Search place.
And now toward the top in the middle.
Place, edit box.
We have place, edit box. I'll tap here to activate.
Showing English, US, QWERTY.
And I'm going to put in
Use voice typing.
New York, New York.
New editing, New York, New York. Edit box, place, out of list.
So I got in there, New York, New York, as a place I would like to add to the places I want to see weather for. And now I'll tap on the Done at the bottom of the keyboard. And now,
page, weather today, determine weather location, set your location based on your current position or pick one manually.
And at the very bottom of the phone, we got a couple buttons closely nested together. The first one to the left is the back button, and the one to the right is your next button. So I'll move my finger down.
Unlabeled.
And move my finger to the right.
Unlabeled.
And I tap here to go next.
Page 3 of 4.
Here, we encounter page 3 or 4.
Page, notifications, notifications, grant required permission to receive useful notifications for this app. Available notifications, forecast for today. Forecast for tomorrow. Current weather. Precipitation. Poor air quality. You can grant the permission later in the system settings for this app.
And so that's what that instruction is. And below that, you could tap on
Page, no, grant permission, button.
Grant permission, or
later, button.
There's a later there. We tap on later.
Page, let's go. That's it. Start now with weather today. You will find all options and customization features in the settings menu. Page 4 of 4.
And that's the last page, and in the middle of the phone,
let's go, button.
Let's go, button.
Currently, an error occurred. Weather data could not be retrieved. Check your internet connection, select a place or change the weather provider and try again.
I'm being told that the weather could not be retrieved, and that's owed to the fact that I don't have location permission. And so what that means is that I will have to manually add a place. So I tap on
Weather Search Place button.
Search Place.
Weather Today. My Places.
And we have the My Places.
No places stored. Use the Add Place button at the top to search for places and save them out of list.
And so what I need to do now is to tap the Add Place, and that button is found on the top right corner of the phone.
Search Place button.
We tap here.
Search Place.
And
Place. Edit box. Showing English, US, QWERTY.
Again, let's go ahead and tap in New York, New York.
Use voice typing.
New York, New York. I just finished typing New York, New York. And now let's see what we got.
Editing. New York, New York. Edit box. Place.
We got New York, New York in the edit field, and to the right of it.
Not checked. Clear text. Button.
We could clear that text moving down.
New York, New York. United States. In list.
And to the right of that,
Add button.
There's the Add button slightly below that field. And we tap here.
New York, United States. Weather, 54 degrees, 29 miles per hour. Gusts, column 1. In grid, 1 row, 2 columns.
And now I'm being shown the New York weather, telling me it's 54 degrees with some 29 miles an hour winds. Now, at the bottom of this, we have some tabs. Starting from the bottom left, here's what we got.
Today, tab, 1 of 4, in list, 4 items.
we have today. Basically, if you choose this tab, you'll be interacting with what is happening today. To the right of that,
radar, tab 2 of 4.
We have radar. To the right of that,
forecast, tab 3 of 4.
We have the forecast, and the last item on the bottom right,
selected, places, tab 4 of 4,
is the places. In other words, we're in the places tab. So if you want, you could add another city of your choice using that search on the top right corner of the phone. Let's go ahead though and tap on the today tab at the very bottom left and see what we have.
Today, tab 1 of 4. Today, selected.
All right, so now we are in the today's weather, and from the top we got
currently.
We have currently, moving my finger down,
4:20 p.m.
It's 4:20 there in New York, and moving down,
New York.
We hear New York there in the text area directly from the time.
Search place button.
We have that search place there, and then to the right of that,
menu button.
We have the menu. Let's move on down.
Poor air quality button.
We hear poor air quality.
Weather button.
And then to the right of it is weather.
54 degrees.
54 degrees.
Heavy gusts button.
Moving down.
Feels 50 degrees.
Moving down.
Clear sky.
Clear sky.
Temperature 54 degrees. And temperature 41 degrees. 0.01. Hourly forecast, out of list.
And then below we got hourly forecast. Moving my finger down, starting from the left, we now have things arranged in rows and columns here.
7 o'clock, weather, gusts. 8 o'clock, weather, gusts. 48 degrees, 0%.
And on and on you go. For now, though, let's navigate our way to the top right corner and tap on that menu.
Menu, button. Settings. Settings, upgrade to premium.
Tapping on that menu, we're told to upgrade to premium. And of course, I indicated earlier that we have different models or two models for the annual subscription. Let's take a look.
Weather today, upgrade to premium. Checked, premium, no ads and all features unlocked.
We got that one.
$6.99 per year.
$7 per year. Below that,
not checked, premium light, no ads and additional weather providers.
That's a premium light.
$3.99 per year.
Basically $4. And
exclusive features, icon, no ads, powerful weather providers, icon, superb widget selection, icon, advanced notifications, icon, extended radar capabilities, icon, unlimited places and place groups, icon, numerous customization options.
That's what you get with the premium subscriptions.
Annual subscription starting immediately after purchase. You can manage your purchases on Google Play.
And
more premium options.
You got more premium options. And that's what we got. Now let's go back.
Currently.
It takes me out of that. And now I'm going to tap on the menu on the top right again.
Menu button. Settings. Settings. Upgrade to premium.
And these settings or these items are toward the bottom of the phone. They are not starting from the top. So I'll move my finger down to
settings. Settings.
There's settings there.
Settings. About this app.
There's about this app.
Share. Share.
There's share.
Share. Rate.
There's rate. And that's the last item. You could tell that sometimes it's pronouncing things twice. Let's go back up, though, to the regular settings and tap on that.
Settings. Weather today. Settings.
I tapped on the settings, and let's go quickly through the settings and look at the items that it has. Starting from the top, here's what we got.
General. General. Icon.
Next.
Notifications. Notifications.
Next.
Units. Units. Icon.
Choose your units.
Weather provider. Weather provider. Premium icon.
You go in here and choose your weather provider, and it tells us it's premium, which means you're not going to have a lot of selections in here. Let's go in here, though, just for giggles and see what we have as free users.
Weather provider.
Tapping on that, on the weather provider, we got
weather provider. Premium.
It tells us this premium feature.
You can choose from different providers to get the most complete and most accurate weather data for your places.
Okay.
Checked. Open weather map.
So by default, as a free user, you're using the open weather map, and then below that?
Not checked. Apple weather icon.
There's Apple weather here for those of you that like Apple weather.
More information button.
There's more information in the middle and at the bottom.
Apply button.
Is the apply button. So as you can see, we don't have a lot of choices. As free users, you can either use the open weather map or you could use the Apple weather. Let's go back.
Weather provider, premium, icon.
Let's move on. Below that, we got
customization, customization, premium, icon.
And below that,
customization, upgrade to premium, unlock customization and notification options and all other features.
And that's some of the information about that customization, which is also a premium subscription feature. And that concludes a quick tour of the Weather Today app. Thanks for listening. And that's a demonstration of the Weather Today app. And as I indicated, if you like it, you can either subscribe for the $4 per year or $7 per year. Straight Ahead is our Tip of the Week segment, and this is where we show you a trick or tip on how to take advantage of your Android device. And now for this episode's Tip of the Week, here's your Tip of the Week. And we close today's episode with the Tip of the Week, and we're talking about Samsung Edge panels. Here's that Tip of the Week. Hi, Warren here for Blind Android Users Podcast, and for episode 173 Tip of the Week, this is demonstrating Edge panels. This is something found in the Galaxy One UI. This reminds me of what used to be on the BlackBerry Hub, messaging hub. However, the Galaxy Edge is not necessarily a messaging hub, although you could choose to make it your messaging hub. I am already in my display area in the system settings, and I will now navigate my way to the Galaxy Edge panels. Here is Edge panels. I'm going to tap on that, but to the right of that is an on-off switch. So if you want to use it, you want to turn that on. For some reason, I believe that when I set up my device, it came on by default. Now, if you don't want to use it, then you can just tap on that off switch to the right here. And this is what I'm talking about. You could tap on that and you will be turning it off. But right now, though, I don't want to turn it off. I just want to show you how it works. I'm utilizing the multilingual TTS engine for my speech services. Let's go ahead and tap on Edge panels.
Edge panels. Navigate up. Button. Out of list.
I am now in the Edge panels, and the whole idea of the Edge panels is for you to be able to put things on the edge so you can just pull on that edge so you can interact with the items that you've chosen to put in there. For example, if you want to make it to where it's all nothing but messaging related, for example, you could put your contacts in there or people in there. You could put messaging in there or Telegram, WhatsApp, whatever messaging apps you want to use. But the whole idea is to have easy access to the things that you frequently use without needing to hunt for them. It's always right there on the edge of your phone. And you could choose to put it on the left edge or the right edge. It's totally up to you. By default, though, it is set to come from the right edge of the phone. So I'm now in that area now, and I'm going to move my finger down so we interact with it so you are familiar with what I'm talking about.
Edge panels on, switch.
I move my finger down. It says Edge panel switched on. Let's move on down.
Panels, apps, 1 of 5, in list, 5 items.
We've got like 3 items here, really. So the first item is apps. So here, if you want to add apps or you want to subtract apps away from the panel, you tap on the apps and then We're moving down.
Handle, 2 of 5.
The handle, and that's the one I talked about earlier on. If you tap here, then it'll offer you whether you want it on the left or the right. I'll show you what I'm talking about, but let's look at the next item first.
About edge panel, 3 of...
And that's the last item that's of importance here, because anything below here has nothing to do with it. See, there's contact us. And or looking for something else. Let's go back up though to...
Handle, 2 of 5.
Handle. Let's tap here.
Handle. Navigate up. Button. Out of list.
When you tap on that handle, and like I said earlier on, it offers you whether you want to set it to be on the left or right edge. By default, it's on the right. I put my finger down and you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Position. Right.
Position is right. So if you don't want it on the right, you tap here and go choose left. Next, we got... So if you lock this, then it means it's going to stay there on the right where it is there by default. If you don't, then it may be something that floats. Sometimes it will be on the left. Sometimes it will be on the right. I haven't tried that by default. I just left it to the locked to the right position. Now, moving down below here, though, all of this is going to be visual and has to do primarily with colors, how you want the color to be. By default, that thing is white, so it's kind of blending into it. But if you want to be able to see it, if you have some side and you want it to be more obvious that you can see it, maybe you can choose a different color. For this demonstration, I've set mine to yellow. So here are the things that I'm talking about. We got style.
Not selected red. Row 1, column 1.
So we got red.
6. Not selected orange. Column 2. Selected yellow. Column 3. Not selected green. Column 4. Not selected blue. Column 5. Not selected purple. Column 6. Not selected pink. Row 2. Not selected light brown. Not selected black. Column 3.
And you go on and on. But like I said, by default, it was set to white. I will now move on to the next heading, and that has to do with transparency.
Transparency. Heading.
So we got transparency, and you could choose how transparent you want it to be. We got by default
70% transparency slider.
And then moving on.
Size. Heading.
That's how big you want the edge to look like. We got
43% size slider.
That's 43%, and you can choose you to maximize or, I mean, bump it up or size it down. It's totally up to you. And here's the width or how big you want it to be from the edge of the phone. If you want it to go a little bit onto the screen, then you could increase that. By default, it's like 0, but I think I've changed my
0% width slider.
There we go. So 0%, I haven't changed mine. It's totally up to you. If you want to change it, you just swipe up to increase it and swipe down to decrease.
Vibration. Heading.
And next heading is vibration.
Vibrate.
And by default, that is set on so that when you touch that edge, it will vibrate to let you know that you are interacting now with the edge panel. And that's the last item. Let's go back.
Handle. 2 of 5. Enlist 5 items.
Let's move our way back, and that's to the...
Panels, apps, 1 of 5.
And here we encounter panels and apps, 1 of 5. Let's go ahead and tap on this.
Panels, navigate up, button, out of list.
We are on this screen now, and to the top right corner, we've got a couple items there. On the top right, we've got more options and the search.
More options, button.
And
search button.
And below that, we got some rows of stuff that up from top to bottom that is vertically arranged. We got like apps.
Checked. Apps. Checkbox. 1 of 8.
But then if you move your finger to the right or swipe, then you have the second row that will be...
Not checked. People. Checkbox. 2 of 8.
People. So if you want to add people like your contacts to the edge panel, you could check this to add it. And then the next one would be
not checked. Smart select checkbox 3 of 8.
Smart select next.
Not checked. Tap checkbox 4 of 8.
And next.
Not checked. Weather checkbox 5 of 8.
We've got weather next.
Not checked. Tools checkbox 6 of 8.
We got the tools and next.
Not checked. Reminder checkbox 7 of 8.
And then the last item here will be...
Not checked. Clipboard. Checkbox. 8 of 8.
Clipboard is the last item that we have here. And now at the bottom of all of this is the Galaxy Store.
Galaxy Store, button, out of list.
If you tap on this, it will take you to the Galaxy Store where you could see Edge-related items that you can purchase. There may be one or two of them that are free, but mainly most of them are paid apps that you could add some functionality to the Edge panel. Let's go back though and tap on that more options on the top right corner because there's some other important thing I want to show you.
More options, but pop-up window, hide on lock screen.
Now we swipe to the right,
and
it says Edge Panels. We tap here, it's going to take us to some sort of a settings for the Edge Panels. Let's go ahead and tap on it.
Edge, settings button.
It brings the Edge to the forefront, and we heard Edge Settings button. That settings that we heard is actually toward the bottom of the phone. So it is actually like a third button from the bottom right. At the very bottom right edge, we hear
Edit.
Edit. Basically, when you tap on this, you'll be editing as to which apps you want to add or remove from the Edge panels. And then to the right of that, All Apps. If you tap on this, it will take you basically to the apps drawer, where if the apps that you're looking for are not in the ones that are populated for adding or removing, you will be in the apps drawer and you could find the ones that you want to add to. And then to the right of it, of course, is
Settings button.
Is that settings button. Now, above this, by default, are some of the apps that got added to my Edge panel, starting from the top I got
Play Store. Row 1, in grid,
move
3 rows,
my finger
1 column,
down.
Quickify, row 2, phone, row 3, messages, row 1, YouTube, internet, row YouTube, row 3, phone, row 4, meet, row 5.
You got the drift. Now, if you want to edit that, then there's that edit below that you could tap there. And if you want to remove meet from there or you want to add more apps, then this is where you go to add your apps that you want to be here on the panel. And that's a quick overview of the Edge panels. I hope that you now know what the Edge panels is all about, and you can choose how you add or remove things from Edge panels. All good things must end. Thus, it's curtain drawing time, bringing us to the close of this week's episode. Coming up, though, we give you information on how to get hold of us. And with that, we come to the end of this week's episode. We thank you so much for listening to us. And up next, though, we give you information on how to get hold of us. And always, Austin gives you that information on how to get hold of us. Austin?
To contact us, you can send an email to contactus@blindandroidusers.com. You can join our mailing list by sending an email to blindandroidusers+subscribe@groups.io. You can join our Telegram, Facebook, Discord, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. The links for everything will be at the bottom of the show notes and also in the video description of the YouTube channel. And also the links are in the websites panel of the YouTube channel.
Thank you so much, Austin, for that information. And with that, guys, this is the end of this episode. And we're looking forward to seeing you again next week. As always, we thank you for listening to us. And from me, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Blind Android Users Podcast. Until we see you next week, don't forget to leave us your comments and suggestions via our email contact or using any of our social media sites. Have a great week.